Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. 500 years ago on this very day, a Thursday in 1521, Dr. Luther stood before emperor, electors, princes, and bishops at the Diet of Worms. The greatest earthly powers had assembled to hear this Augustinian monk. This previous Sunday, Luther had celebrated the third Sunday of Easter, and so he had heard the same readings that you just heard and prayed the same prayers that you just prayed. And he was asked, "Will you take back your writings?" He responded, "I cannot and I will not recant. God help me." He knew his good shepherd was not the Pope, councils, or an emperor, but the Lord Jesus who laid down his life for him. 500 years ago, the Lord caused his glorious voice to resound throughout the land, calling sheep to come to him and rest. Wolves had scattered the flock, and the hired hands, the bishops and leaders in the church, cared more about their power than about saving these sheep. But the Lord is good. His clear voice declared salvation by grace through faith. Dr. Luther believed and would not flee from the good shepherd. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the church. He is not simply one shepherd among many, but he is the only shepherd. He alone laid down his life for you. Our shepherd became a lamb to die for us wandering sheep. Silently he went, willingly he endured the cross, scorning its shame. By the blood of a lamb we are spared from death and set free from bondage. We are called out of the nations and gathered into the flock with one shepherd. So our shepherd is a lamb. Our fearless leader is a baby sheep who looks like he has been slain, for salvation is found in no one else. He lives, and he leads us. He directs our days and our hours. He has put us on a path and watches our every step. There goes the Lamb of God leading his flock of sheep. It looks like easy pickings for the devil. Lambs do not evoke bravery, strength, or courage, but timidity, wanderingness, and cowardliness. With them, there is no safety in numbers. No one is scared of a lamb. No one is scared of a dead man hanging on a tree, yet that image processes in before us and leads us out into the world. We preach Christ crucified. This is our standard. This is our joy. It gives us direction. It is more glorious than Israel's pillar of cloud and fire. It is more joyful to see than the Ark of the Covenant, because God has become one of us. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, slain for you, risen for you, and leading you into the promised land. We are not followers of pastors, but of Christ alone. So we demand that his under-shepherds, his ministers, preach Christ alone and open the scriptures to hold him before our eyes. There we hear his voice. We follow him not with our eyes, but we follow with our ears. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. We listen for the call of the gospel, the unchanging promise of forgiveness in Christ. We are not tied to a building, a pastor, or a denomination. Christ alone leads us, for he alone is our Savior. So Luther refused to take back his writings unless he was shown to be wrong from the clear word of God. We refuse to take back what we have said, to change our doctrine, unless shown from the clear word of God that we are wrong. Christ contrasts himself with the hired hands. When Satan attacks, at times through persecution, but chiefly Satan attacks through false teaching. And when Satan attacks, when false teaching infiltrates the church, the hired hand flees, not physically, but he gives in. When the sheep have sinned, the hired hand flees by ignoring it so people don't get upset and leave. They are not pastors who care about the sheep, but they are men who care about their position. The hired hand lets Satan scatter the flock, even though many still physically gather underneath one roof. The hired hand says that there are many paths to the same God. Christ says, "I am the way." The hired hand says, let's set aside our differences in the name of Christ, even, because we have bigger things to worry about than our doctrinal disagreements. Christ says, I am the truth. The hired hand says that morality changes, and so it's okay to shift doctrine here and there. Christ says, I am the life. The hired hand flees confrontation. He preaches to make a living. He keeps himself safe. So don't upset the members who pay your salary. Don't rock the boat. Tell the sheep what they want to hear. Tell them that no one is perfect, so that way you can keep your job. By false teaching, the wolves snatch the flock and scatter it. It adds noise to the serenity of Christ's voice. It clouds the gospel and hides the lamb. But Christ knows his own, and his own know him. He knows you not simply with an intellectual knowledge, but with loving attention. He knows what gets you out of the bed in the morning, what gets you going, what excites you and what scares you, what makes you laugh and cry, your deepest desires and your most superficial wants. He knows how much you can endure in this life and when you need his comfort. He knows your sins. None of them are hidden from him. But he knows so that he might take away your sins and blot out your transgressions. And you know him. The Spirit opened up his heart for all to see. The gospel of forgiveness drives everything that he does. He wants all men to be saved. He allows good things and bad things in your life to lead you to repentance so you believe his gospel. You hear his tender voice and come running. Even though the law is harsh and unrelenting, he will not change it. You know he preaches his law so that he might preach his gospel and take away your many sins and lead you in the way of righteousness. Jesus compares this knowing of him with the way he knows the Father. So again, this is far more than intellectually passing a doctrine or catechism test. This is a knowledge that flows from faith. This intimate knowing of God results in a blessed communion with God. You participate in the divine nature. You are united to God and he to you and delight in who he is for your salvation. To know God is to be joined into the mystery of salvation by grace through faith. To know God is to believe the pierced side and the open hands, and to follow the slain lamb who walks on before you. So let us rejoice in the sweet voice of our good shepherd when he forgives us and also when he rebukes us. All he does is for our good. Faith hears him speak through his ordained minister, so faith listens intently even when the sermon is boring and eats with joy even though the taste is dull. In spite of culture, in spite of friends, in spite of the wolf, faith hears and follows. There are many voices out there that can distract us and lead us to doubt. They vie to form our thoughts and to mold our actions. They want us to be followers of them, to share their ideologies. But Christ's voice cuts through them all. His sheep hear his voice and follow him in holy living. Why would we ever stray from him? Popes and councils and emperors did not lay down their life for us. Christ did. TV newscasters, social media personalities, journalists did not redeem us. Christ did. Pastors, synods, and denominations did not shed their blood for us, but Christ did. You know him. You heard his voice as he called you out of the waters of holy baptism. You hear his voice in his word of absolution as he preaches to you of himself. And you will hear his voice on that last day when he calls you up out of your grave. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.